topic today, the faith. In Jude chapter 1 and verse 3, we read, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful that I write unto you and exhort you that we should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." This passage of Jude 1 and verse 3 is a passage that tells us about this wonderful common salvation and how the common salvation came about from the teaching of the faith which was once delivered to the saints. It was not changed as the years came and went. This word "once" used here in Jude 1 and verse 3 is the same word that is used in Hebrews 9 and verse 27. When it is noted that it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. In the sense of death occurring, not to be reoccurring, as in the doctrine and the idea of that way of life of coming back, and redying as we go in this life. It is once done. It's fulfilled in that way. The same message that was complete in that early first century time is the same message that ought to be preached all the way down the stream of time. The Lord of Heaven desired to teach us in a number of ways, using familiar passages and figures of speech along the way. If you would open your Bible now and turn with me to Acts chapter 13, I want to begin at verse 8. And Paul's missionary journey is underway. And in Acts 13 and verse 8, I want to show you how that God taught us that he doesn't always call salvation the same word, though it is the faith. The faith once delivered to the saints is sometimes referred to in other terms. And he wanted to teach us to follow his word in that way. Here in Acts chapter 13 and verse number 8, we see that, well, first off, I guess we need to notice that verse 4. "So they, when being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed into Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus." They're on the island of Cyprus. "And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God." Notice what it said there, "the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. And they had also John to their minister. And when they had gone through the isle of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul, and desired to hear the word of God." Notice this is the word of God he wants to hear. "But Ananias, the sorcerer," for so is his name by interpretation, "withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul," which is also called Paul, "filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O fool of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Then the deputy," verse 12, "then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord." Notice that the faith of this verse 8, "turn away the deputy," sought to turn him away from the faith, is referred to in verse 10 as righteousness. "You are the enemy of all righteousness, though wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord." In his teaching false doctrine instead of what now Paul was teaching and was practicing in front of them, it was false doctrine. Right ways of the Lord is used as the description here. What happened to this deputy who wanted to hear the word of God? He was astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. these terms are used in reference to that, the faith. He wanted to hear the faith. He wanted to hear the word of the Lord. Two passages, note to that, verse 5 and then in verse number 7. He wanted to hear the word of the Lord. But that word of the Lord was the faith. And being the faith, it was the right thing of God. It was righteousness. And it was the right ways of the Lord, the right practice to do of the Lord. And as a result, it was the doctrine of the Lord that this man finally believed in, accepted, and wanted to live by. When we talk about the ways that God has sought to teach us in His Bible, He did not teach to confuse us and to rob us of faith in Him and following His way. But I believe that the Lord knew that there would be certain words that would be used by people in years to come, in the which there would be those who would seek to say, well, if you're talking about the doctrine of the Lord, you're not talking about the faith. If you're talking about righteousness, you're not talking about the faith or the doctrine of the Lord. When in fact, here in Acts 13, we read that all of those particular terms refer to the same body of teaching. Let's read it once again to get that in front of us. Verse number 7. Which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul, and desired to hear the word of God. But Ananias the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Verse 10. Paul said to him, O fool of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? Verse 12. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. Now I want to ask you this regard of this matter. Since we see that God used these various terms in reference to the same body of teaching, the faith, the righteousness of God, the right ways of the Lord, the doctrine of the Lord, the Word of God, all of these particular terms are used in this passage, in the same context, in the same reference to the same body of information. When over there in Jude 1, verse 3, Jude says, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation. Earnestly contend for the faith that's been once for all time delivered to the saints. He's saying that I'm teaching and I'm teaching you to teach the same body of teaching that was taught back here to Sergius Paulus in Acts 13. We can see God's teaching as He has mentioned for us to know that all those terms in reference to His teaching is reference to keep us following His right way. The doctrine of the Lord, the teachings of the Lord would be another term. But when we look up that word doctrine, we see it means teachings. Teachings of the Lord. What the Lord teach Timothy? A passage we've used a couple weeks ago in 1 Timothy 4 at verse 12. Be thou an example of the believers in word and in conversation and in charity, in spirit and in faith and in purity. Why do I want to be an example of the believers? Because this is the body of the faith. This is the teaching of the Lord. This is the way that I'm supposed to live. I'm supposed to have the zeal. I'm supposed to have the faith of the Lord. I'm supposed to have the ways of righteousness as a part of my life. As I follow that right way, I'm a part of God's work and God's will. When I do not follow that right way, I become like Elymas here, thou child of the devil. When wilt thou cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? The teaching of the devil and the right ways of the Lord are different. And the right ways of the Lord are different from the ways in which he would continue to live, in which he perverts the right ways of the Lord. We need to follow the teaching of the faith. And in following the teaching of the faith, we read throughout our New Testament Bible of examples in the book of Acts of people who followed that way. When we see that this man in Acts chapter 13 and verse 12, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord, is that all he did was say, "Man, I believe this is the message of the Lord." But when we go to the other examples, before Acts 13 and after Acts 13, what do we find commanded in every one of those examples? It's not commanded in every example that they heard the word of the Lord and believed it. It's not commanded in every one of those passages that they repented or confessed faith in Christ. But in every one of those passages of the Acts of the Apostles, we read where they were commanded and did go to be immersed into Christ, baptized into him. Did he just believe? Someone said, well, that's all that's said there in regard to his life. But God was teaching us that the faith wasn't the only word used in reference to the body of teaching about his word of the Lord and his salvation journey. The idea is that he believed in this sense, just like the others that responded to the Lord in the book of Acts. They believed, some of them repented, others were stated as they confessed their faith in Christ, all were taught to go and be baptized. In Acts chapter 22 and verse 16, Paul himself will be told by Ananias, "Arise and go get yourself baptized." Literally, that's the text. "Arise, go get yourself baptized and wash away your sins." The command that was given here was for him to be free from the way that he used to live and the practice that he used to do. Knowing it was a cool night coming up, knowing the water would be cold, what did I do yesterday afternoon? I came over here and I took the heater that's in the baptistry here and I switched the box back there, the breaker. It brought it up to 80 degrees overnight and holds it there at 80 degrees now. It doesn't boil it out. It doesn't fix it up that way. It holds it there. When James got here this morning, I turned the light on back there and asked him to put his hand over in the water right there to see, and he said, "Yeah, it's right. It's just right." Why do we do that? We want to be ready for someone who decides to obey the faith today. Be a part of the salvation plan of God. Be a part of this great hope. And not have to constantly be thinking about the chills and the kind of movements that's going to take place of the cold water. There's hardly any colder water than the water that is still water. You know that's the case. And so it is that it's fixed up and it's ready. And in faith, there's a hope that people can respond to the Lord, obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, and be saved from sin. When this faith was taught of Jude in Jude 1 and verse 3, earnestly contend for the faith once delivered to the saints. Know that it has been fully and completely delivered. And thus this message that goes out over the internet to tell people far and wide about this message is the idea of looking back to Acts 13 and seeing the various terms that are used in reference to the same body of teaching. And to ask all the people who are in studies about various things to insist that their preachers and their teachers of Sunday school and the like involve all that is involved. Don't just stop with one particular word and say, "That must be it. That's it. That's all it is to it." So many have done that on John 3 and at verse 16. But in John 3 and verse 16, he doesn't tell us that that faith is just a faith that we can just say mentally, "I agree with that." He likens it to a comparison of the days when the serpent was lifted up in the wilderness. that serpent being lifted up in the wilderness called upon people who were bitten with snakes in that day and time to come to that particular place. When others brought them to that particular place, what were they to do? Look upon that serpent, and they would be recovered from their snake bite. They were to be obedient to the Lord's word. And that faith of John 3:16 is put in the context of those who obeyed the word of the Lord back there on the days of the snake bites among the Israelites, and how that God fixed a way for them to be made whole. How he fixed a way for them to survive then and be mended or healed from then. When you and I find our lives wanting to be healed from sin and wrongdoing, referred to as a snare of the devil, as we read this morning in 2 Timothy chapter 2, a snare in the last verse of it, captivated by the snare of the devil and held captive at his will. To remain in sin is not the desire on the part of the individual so much as it is the desire of Satan himself to hold us into that position of unfaithfulness to God. Let's be people who recognize that when we are people who realize where we're wrong and where we're just wrong, and we've been baptized into Christ in earlier days, we find ourselves being renewed by a relationship of prayer and repentance. And in Acts chapter 8, it is true that it's told to Simon, repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray God that the thought and intent of your heart may be forgiven. Why I preach on this particular idea? Because it's at the conclusion of this month that we've dealt with the idea of various terms in reference to how we live for the Lord. And there's hardly any better way that we find ourselves living for the Lord but to believe in and accept what he has taught and be obedient to his will.